everybody, and a very warm welcome to this global conversation today. My name is Sophie Devonshire, and I'm the CEO of the Marketing Society, and I am so pleased to be introducing today's session. We have got a really interesting group of speakers today to talk about something which I think is a really fascinating topic for anybody who is working in marketing or business at the moment. Thank you to all the members who've been in touch with us and told us how much they're enjoying these global conversations. I think at a moment in time when many of us are feeling slightly less connected and maybe a little under pressure if we work in marketing, there's a great opportunity when we can bring together some perspectives and some stories and some insights from right across the globe to help us feel less alone and to help inspire our own thinking. And I love being able to do this in this very, very easy and relatively fast format as well. This is the fifth in our global conversation series, and we've done a really interesting selection of webinars where we've covered all kinds of topics where we've been looking at the opportunities and challenges that face marketers, both from a global and local level, talking about the economy, what's been happening in terms of brand survival, long-term impact and sustainability, the impact of Black Lives Matters, what people are doing to future-proof. And we've been talking about the issues that are affecting us all. Today, for today's global conversation, we are bringing together leaders from across our seven hubs of the Marketing Society to talk about how on earth we effectively plan for 2021, which seems like a very simple question. These are complicated times. Before I introduce our amazing speakers today and get their perspectives on this topic, I'd just like to say a proper thank you to everybody who's tuned in today to listen to this, and a proper hello. It's really sad I can't see you all. I'm so delighted you are joining us. We do have the Zoom chat function, so it would be great if you fancied coming to say hello, so we know who's out there and where you're dialing in from today. And I would like to get the conversation started today by asking you all listening at home a question. It's a really simple question. The question is, what one word describes how you are feeling about planning for 2021? So please come into the chat function, come and say hello, tell us where you're dialing in from today, and tell me, please, honestly, what one word best describes your feeling about planning for 2021? I'm going to chat and see who's there. Oh, hello, Mark. Apprehensive. Honest. Brilliant. Great, great to see some people are feeling excited. And yes, Emma from Edinburgh, overwhelmed. I think there's a lot of overwhelmitis hitting people at the moment. And a bit uncertain. Yes, these are not certain times at all, Graham, are they? Thank you very much, everybody. Keep using that chat function and letting us know what you think as you go through the discussion today. We'd really like to hear from those people who are uncertain but excited about the future and, or staying open. It's great to hear your perspectives. So come and chat on the chat function. We also have the Q&A function if you'd like to add any questions in for our panelists as we go. We have got a lot of questions for them all already today. So what I'd like to do with today's session is talk as little as possible. I'm going to be the one asking the questions and invite some personal perspectives from each of our different speakers today. First of all, I'm going to introduce each of them and ask them to come on and introduce themselves, tell us who they are, and share with us what one word best describes how they're feeling. So I'm going to start with the brilliant Alvin. Alvin, come on screen. Tell us about yourself and how you're feeling.
Hi, I'm Alvin Neal. I'm the Chief Customer and Marketing Officer for NTUC Enterprise, which is the largest social enterprise in Singapore. And also we also run the largest grocery retailer, FairPrice. We've got about 60% of the market. So that's it for me. Actually, I have two words, Sophie,
of course,
for planning for next year, hard trade-offs.
Hard trade-offs.
Hard trade-offs. Yeah, difficult trade-offs. Yeah.
I love it. And we love your angel's wings behind you there, Alvin, staying positive. Let's move away from Singapore now, and maybe I could ask Celine to come on to the screen and tell us, Celine, a little bit about yourself, where you're dialing in from, and how you're feeling about 2021.
Hi, everyone. So I'm Celine. I'm Global Head of Marketing for APM Monaco.
Show us your face, Celine. Put your camera on.
I think this one.
You've got the branding behind you. You've got to share it.
And I've got my super branding, yeah. So I'm Celine, Global Head of Marketing for APM Monaco. So we have our global headquarter here in Hong Kong and more or less 300 shops worldwide. So APM Monaco is a design-focused silver jewelry. For me, the world would be free, which I don't want, if you want me to give some context.
Because I think you probably need context for that.
Yeah. Free.
It's quite surprising to say free. But the thing is, usually as a marketer, and I've been doing this for some time, every time we have to really look at best practice and some KPI, and we have even in our way to work on budget. As we are in a very uncertain time, what is very strange is we cannot rely anymore on best practice. We cannot rely on some of our KPI. We cannot rely on some of way to calculate. So now we really need to find a new way to communicate or to free ourselves of our usual way of working. And we work on a very short term. So for me, I feel much free now than I've never been, in fact, in my CMO role.
It's a positive. Let's start with a positive. Thank you, Celine, and welcome to the conversation. Let's move to India. Kanika, you're caught dialing in from Twitter. Tell us a little bit about how you're feeling.
Hi, Sophie. So great to be here. Hi, everyone. I'm Kanika. I'm a business head at Twitter in India. And before Twitter, I was the director of marketing at Reebok. I'm really excited to be here, actually. And when I think of 2021, I think the one word that comes to my mind is gratitude. I feel like 2021 has thrown all kinds of curveballs at us. And the fact that we are still here, we're talking to each other, and we are planning for 2021 in itself is very positive. So I'm looking forward with gratitude for all the little good things that 2021 gave us. I'm going to take that in my stride and plan for 2021. So yeah.
Brilliant. Super positive there, Kanika. I think your lighting's just gone. We've just lost you a little bit. I don't know if you can turn the light on so we can see you.
Yes. Give me a moment. I will fix that.
Well, while you're doing that, let's move over to the UK and let's move to Scotland and welcome Vicky. Hello, Vicky. How are you feeling?
Hello. Hi, Sophie. Hi, everyone. So I am Vicky Miller, I'm Director of Marketing and Digital with Visit Scotland, so Scotland's National Tourist Board, and my job obviously is about supporting, well certainly for the next wee while we'll be supporting the industry through economic recovery, so hopefully welcoming back international visitors next year to Scotland and continuing the staycation trend that we've seen this year. And my word for sort of planning would be hopeful. I'm hopeful and I feel positive because what I've seen in the industry over the last few months is resilience, creativity, innovation, lots of great collaboration. And so these things make me feel hopeful about planning for next year.
It's fascinating to reflect on what's happened this year and what that's going to give us for next year, as well as what we're going to lose.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Vicky. And just moving to London now. Keith, hello. Are you there with your bike behind you?
I am.
Excellent.
Hello, everyone. It's very nice to be here. My name is Keith Moore. I'm the CMO, Chief Marketing Officer at Camelot. Camelot are the operators of the National Lottery in the UK. Over half the country every week plays a range of games like Lotto and Euro Millions. The word I've got for planning for 2021 is optimistic. I think I've seen incredible adaptability of people, the increased cohesion I've found at a personal level, you know, with my family, and but also with people at work. The challenging nature of work, the situation we're in, has really bred great learning. And so I think we're better prepared for the future now. We're more dynamic, we're more adaptable, and we're more innovative. So I'm optimistic.
I love the word dynamic as well. And yes, what a year of learning, if nothing else. Thank you, Keith. David in New York, come and tell us who you are, How are you feeling? Lovely to see you, David.
Good morning from New York, and welcome everybody this morning. I think, my background here in the Big Apple is brand innovation and analytics, which basically means I get to spend my day making people say wow and making numbers go up. And I think that the single word that would really distill my mood, for better and for worse, is alert. So we've never had a, you know, 1 to 2 year time period where we've been able to say that a couple of different scenarios may take place, unprecedented scenarios take place with, you know, the rollout of a vaccine at some point, a revival of economies at some point in different geos. So I'm looking at, what are people searching for? What are people saying? What are people feeling? And knowing that we can predict a great deal. So I would say that for better and for worse, alert is kind of how I'm feeling, waiting for those, you know, to detect those changes.
Yeah, which as ever is one of the most brilliant things about great marketers. When it comes from a business point of view, they're the ones that are able to keep tracking and keep alert and watch what's happening with consumers and customers who are moving faster than the businesses ever can to change. Okay, and it's good that you're alert this early in the morning for you, David. That's great to have you here as well. Last but very much not least, let's go over to Abu Dhabi and welcome Emma. Hello, Emma.
Ahlan, as we say in Arabic. Thank you so much, Sophie, for having me, and really delighted to be sharing ideas with everybody this afternoon. So my name's Emma Cantor. I'm the Director of Marketing and Communications at the Louvre Abu Dhabi. So we have licensed the brand of the Louvre, but we're an institution based in Abu Dhabi with its own collection and programming, showing the history of art from the beginning of time until today. And my role is really to oversee all brand communications, including the digital aspect of what we do. The word that I would have, and I actually just changed it last minute, is purpose. Because as I was thinking and listening to everybody, I think one of the core things, and we're very fortunate being a cultural institution, that we really think there's a role for culture to play in this really complex time. And particularly as, you know, overseeing the brand at the museum, there's a real opportunity for us. So I'm feeling a real sense of purpose as we look to our communities to help them get through this.
Brilliant. Thank you, Emma. And looking forward to hearing more about what's been happening with the Louvre. I mean, as you can see, everybody, what we've got here on this virtual screen and this room, it's a great collection of brains, people who are sharing ideas from very different industries, different personalities, different parts of the world, but all of us trying to work out how we navigate through a completely challenging and interesting period. And we plan. How do we plan? How do we really try and work out what we should be doing in 2021. Alvin, how have you started? You've talked about this idea of hard trade-offs. How are you approaching your 2021 planning? What's the approach for you?
It's really looking very fundamentally at the key trends that's facing, I guess, society as a whole, but our industry for sure. You know, this sense of consumers being much more value conscious, especially as the economies, you know, around the world, and certainly in Singapore, face a lot of pressure. So people have lost their jobs, or they're making less money. There's no bonus, no increments. Everybody is much more budget conscious. So we're very much taking note of that trend and seeing how both in our product pricing and even the marketing messages that we put out there, right? How they can actually tap, you know, and engage with that. The second trend that we see is much greater consciousness of both health and safety. Again, because of the COVID environment, right? Totally understandable. The third is this, you know, because a lot more people are working from home or, you know, sort of, live, you know, spending their time in the vicinity of their neighborhoods much more than before, much less travel, much less, you know, going everywhere. So this idea of hyper-localization is a key trend that we are tapping onto. And last but not least, everybody's facing this. And that's why you see, you know, companies like Zoom and Netflix all do really well, is digitalization. Mm-hmm. And so that has accelerated. It was already a growing trend, but it's accelerated like by like 2 or 3 times the normal speed. So again, something that we are paying a lot of attention to investing in. And so a lot more of our budgets actually, even more, are going online, and but in different ways. Mm-hmm. A lot more on content marketing and the like, right? So
yeah, that massive, enormous, hyper-fast shift that everybody's making sure that they're reflecting in 2021 to make sure that digitalization of the business and the ability to be connected more through digital. But interesting as well, that concept of hyper-localization, which I know is something a few people around this virtual room will be talking about. But I love the fact, Alvin, that you start with, it is always a commercial question. And, you know, it reminds us that marketers, the best marketers, are the ones that are driving commercial growth and are focused on that. So because starting with what it's going to be.
Yeah. And because our consumers are facing these trends, right, for real. And so their priorities, their personal priorities, and therefore their behaviors have shifted or pivoted, right? So I think someone mentioned earlier, if we stay on top of that, and we need to go along with them, right? We can't be thinking of the old normal or business as usual kind of, you know, if I do this, they'll like that, or they want this, or, you know, whatever. They want different things. Different things are important to them. So we have to, even our messaging has to pivot along with that. Yeah.
So making sure you've got the data and the insight that says what actual behavioral changes have happened and what do we do as a result. So just checking in on that. Because I think there's quite a lot of anecdote about that as well. I think there's lots of people going, oh, this has all changed and this has been different. So it's useful to really understand and be the ones looking
at
that.
That's correct. So.
And Vicky, I mean, for you, you know, behaviours have changed. Anybody who's working in tourism, you know, it's been a fascinating year of learning, to say the least. How are you having to adapt, or what changes are you making to your business model to make sure you thrive in 2021?
Yeah, I mean, travel and tourism and hospitality industries across the globe have been hit so badly, and it's still very uncertain, you know, in terms of the return of, particularly for Scotland, for international travel. So really our planning has to be very much on a market by market basis. So we know our priority markets, we've got sentiment and propensity trackers in place, and that's new trackers that we've put in place. And I think, as Alvin said, David's also hinted at what's going to be really important in ensuring incremental gains for Scotland as and when we can, is having data and insight. So really taking a data and insight-led approach, but having market plans that are based around scenarios. So what are happening in those markets? What do we know economically in terms of consumers? And I guess putting plans in place aligned to each market based on a phased approach so that we can start to see those incremental gains over time. So scenario planning by market and taking very much a kind of phased approach. I think the other thing is we're seeing this opportunity for Scottish tourism as an opportunity to kind of reset back to, again, what Alvin has said, is that we are seeing a different kind of value set. And for us, it's not going to be about volume necessarily. We don't anticipate to see the return of visitor numbers to 2019 levels until probably at least 2023. So it has to be about how can we add value? How can we make it a better quality experience? How can we make it a more personal experience? And Scotland's really well placed based on what people are looking for. That kind of, you know, outdoor, clean, fresh. We've seen the impact of slowing down and actually less travels had on the environment. So we can play into that in terms of positioning. So I think lots of collaboration will happen across the industry, and we're seeing already, to rethink about how we reset and think more about that value and quality proposition and continue to build trust, promote Scotland as a safe destination. And then that sort of scenario planning and market to look at how we can just make those incremental gains based on the readiness to travel and the ability to travel by market.
Yeah, I think there's quite a few people looking at scenario planning so that they can see if this, then that, to be ready to be
absolutely alert. Absolutely.
But I love that the move, you know, the fundamental objective changing from looking at volume to value, and that's a big shift for you. Mm. And Keith, I mean, we just don't know what's going to happen next year. How do we begin? How are you working with your team to address planning when everything is still so uncertain? What are you doing to make that work?
It's my belief that there are some standards or principles that remain that, from a marketing point of view, have to be constant in any kind of planning cycle. The first is the need to be present for consumers. I think now is not the time to hide. And this is much about continuing to invest as having the mentality that means that we need to be able to communicate on a regular basis with our customers. They want to see brands behaving as normally as they can. They want some normality in their life. And I think it's really important. That's why big brands need to be there. The question is how, right? So that's a separate point, but the principle of being present. And the second one for me is, and these are very broad concepts, but I think they remain true at the heart of a marketer's job. Second is to drive relevance. So, you know, to increase salience, and how we are relevant to consumers might have changed. Some brands not, but a lot of brands, most brands, yes. And so having that at the heart of what we're thinking drives the overall approach. And then I think on a practical level, it's planning in smaller cycles. Mm. So yes, you'll have an overall plan for the year. You'll have a broad ambition, but I'm a big believer in a more agile approach, which allows us to plan in much smaller cycles, which allows us to respond. I buy and also do the scenario planning, but there's almost too many scenarios, right? So I think you can set some frameworks of scenarios, but literally there are so many. I think it's about having the team change their mindset to thinking in more responsive, quicker cycles of activity to ensure that you can be really relevant and present all the time.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a little bit about some trends that were happening anyhow being massively accelerated. And I think the move to making sure we are as agile, as responsive, as set up to move at speed has definitely been shown to be helpful for everybody. And it also makes you feel more comfortable to know that, you know, we've proved, a lot of companies have proved they can pivot at pace anyhow. So now there is maybe some optimism now that we've shown we can do it and we can make that happening. But planning it in smaller cycles is a great way of thinking about it. Doesn't feel so overwhelming if you look at it that way. And I'm interested, Celine, when I think about the shift you've had away from the tourism industry to a whole new industry in the last year, have you seen that there's a difference between those industries and what it means for planning?
So for me, I've been spending like 15 years in automotive industry, like which was very corporate, Japanese automotive, very global, content driven and with huge budget because automotive is a huge spender. And then I move in April, so this year, to a more family business, French origin, fashion, retail.
And it's a great year to start a new job, by the way. Perfect.
It's a totally a 360 change for me. But then what was interesting is because I liked what Vicky said about the market per market strategy, which make it very interesting. Instead of, I have the impression, and also because of this change of job, I was in this huge machine where we were doing this very long-term strategy, global and very KPI oriented, ROI, a lot of acronyms. And now we're very on a short-term market per market. And what is more important for me as a marketer is we are really back to the customer. And everything right now is really driven by this customer. And for example, in APM Monaco, what was interesting, well, about what you say about tourism, it's quite a new company in a way that they started the retail in 2013. And they were mainly in China and then mainly focusing the China tourism worldwide. What was interesting is with this happen, they really need to be back to who are really their customer, who are the local customer. People can't travel, so we have shop all over the world, in US, in UK, who are really the people coming to the shop, who are really the people coming even to our e-commerce, who are really the people, what are they really looking for? Then they realize we need to engage with them, we need to talk to them, we need to understand who they are. Then it was very interesting for this type of family business company to start engaging a conversation with this customer to really understand who they are and then take more the understanding and really get some interest about them. So for me, it's really about the CRM. It's really about looking who are our customer, the real one, not just travel retail and all this tourism driven business. Yeah.
But getting that real customer insight, that proper human understanding and making sure that's clear, because then that, all the decisions can be driven around that. It makes it simpler in lots of ways. And Kanika, I'm so pleased your power's come back on there. We had a power cut live and as happening, which is interesting because, of course, it's a perfect example of resilience and coping when things happen that are beyond your control. What do you think you've learned, or we've all learned from this year and everything that's happened, that actually we could take forward, you know, if 2021 proves to be a challenging time as well?
Yeah, Sophie, I think there is so much that we have learned. I feel like I can actually write a book altogether on how things have panned out so differently, you know, in the last 6 to 8 months. But I think if I have to pick two top trends that personally I'm excited about, and I feel like there are huge learnings that can be taken into 2021, I would say the one thing that brands can really look at is the whole trend of rediscovery. You know, when the lockdown was implemented in India, it was like the biggest lockdown in human history. And people were at home for a long period of time. They could not step out. They could not indulge in any leisure activities. And whatever there was, you know, whatever they considered as fun, suddenly that meaning had changed and they were restricted at home. So what a lot of people started doing was that they started rediscovering their roots. They started going back to things that gave them joy, and they had forgotten all about them in their corporate jobs or in the daily rush of life. When they went back to these things, they started sharing how much joy, peace, and happiness, just rediscovering the smaller pleasures of life was giving them. And this whole piece around rediscovery, which came up during the lockdown, to my mind is significant. I think consumers are now craving and have understood the need for a simpler time. And as they rediscover the joy of a simpler time, they would want the brands around them to also acknowledge that and celebrate. So I feel like rediscovery is a very real trend. It has not been utilized or leveraged well enough by the brands in 2020. And I feel like going forward in 2021, if we can just take out the beautiful stories of rediscovery and take them to our consumers and really, you know, celebrate with them the joy of the things that gives them, you know, little pleasures, it could be very meaningful. So I would call that rediscovery as a big trend. And the second thing that I would say, Sophie, is something, you know, we can carry forward into 2021 is the ability to plan to replan. I feel like, you know, no matter how much we plan, we don't know what kind of curveballs 2021 is going to throw for us. So the best that we can do is prepare our teams to be resilient, prepare ourselves as leaders to be creative and empathetic, knowing that changes are going to come, knowing that changes are not going to be easy, and always be in a frame of mind that we are ready to pivot. In 2020, we were forced to pivot. But in 2021, we need to be ready to pivot. We need to be ready to adapt. And that too with, I would say, resilience, empathy, and creativity. I feel like if we do these things, we will be a lot better prepared for the uncertainty of 2021. And I also want to add to this by saying that a lot of marketers, and I'm sure many people will relate to this, are tasked with causing disruption. Very often in our boardroom meetings, so with our CEOs, with our colleagues and peers, we discussed how do we cause disruption in our industry. That's been such a huge buzzword for years altogether, and certainly in the last 2 to 3 years. I feel like COVID has brought that disruption around for everyone. Mm. Any marketer that has successfully pivoted through COVID, successfully changed their marketing calendar overnight, and, you know, kind of done different repositionings with respect to their consumer, has experienced disruption.
Yeah.
So I feel like the age of disruption is over, and now we go forward with the best plan to replan.
Get the plan out there. When you're talking, I mean, it's beautiful. Rediscovery is a lovely sort of call to action and a reminder of positives and trying to get that's the celebrations and the gratitude that are out there. It's interesting talking to Marketing Society members about the desire for everybody to keep celebrating the good things in marketing and what a great industry you are and the positives and discovering that. I just want to pick up on the point about resilience as well, because I was yesterday looking at, you know, the technical definitions of it and having a conversation with some people around that. And resilience has two definitions. One is toughness, you know, the ability to withstand things, which I think, you know, sounds like, oh, we've got to be hard, we've got through it. And the other one is more about elasticity. And I think that marketers are particularly good at being creative and responding like that and being quite elastic and creative in their thinking. So I think we should be some of the strongest people to take us through, you know, another year. And we've always faced uncertain times and ambiguous results in marketing, right? So yeah, all there together. But we're talking a lot here about making sure we're set up to be responsive, to be able to move fast. But of course, we've also got to be responsible and make sure we're looking to the long term. Emma, I know that purpose for you is really important when you're thinking about the future of the business and planning. Tell us how you're feeling about the long term as well as the short term and where purpose fits within that for you.
I think purpose is, I would say, Sophie, that purpose is absolutely critical in today's day and age. I think, you know, humanity needs more humane brands. And I strongly feel the best way for a brand to appear humane and really be humane is if they lead with purpose, if they really and truly commit themselves to a cause. That cause could sit within their DNA. It could sit within the arena of their corporate social responsibility, but it needs to be there. And they also need to be, you know, talking about it so that consumers are aware what are the initiatives they are taking when they're leading with purpose. And they are therefore able to relate and respect that brand so much more. So I feel like this is absolutely non-negotiable. I know previously there have been a lot of discussions around the ROI related to long format advertising, which typically is a subset of purpose-led marketing. But I think those debates are over, that time and age is gone. The humanity has been struck by such a velocity of a pandemic that the brands that are truly humane, that really want to make a genuine connection with consumers are the ones that are going to survive. And let me tell you, consumers are very smart today. They completely understand the difference between a gimmick, between a publicity blitz, vis-a-vis a brand genuinely trying to lead with purpose.
Absolutely.
And if you're approaching this intelligent consumer, then we need to be very humane and approach it with a very open heart.
I think that, I mean, the question of purpose is complicated and we could spend the whole time talking about it because there are different interpretations for different people in terms of communications and, you know, what it means in terms of the heart of the business. I know, Emma, for you, when you're looking at what's happening with the question of purpose has been something that's been on your mind this year. How has that helped you in planning?
So it's been a huge opportunity for us because ultimately, we're here receiving 70-80% of our visitors were tourists. And so when you remove that, it's actually really given us an opportunity to focus on Abu Dhabi, which is our domestic market at the moment, given there's a border closure between Abu Dhabi and Dubai. But to really change, and we're talking about the business model, to shift that and look at how we can give back to our community. So the great thing, and following up from what Kanika is saying, is that our brand is about, you know, connecting cultures and to share and show that we have more in common as human beings than we know. That's the role of our museum. And so we've really taken the time to engage with publics, whether it be to give back to communities, offering entry for frontline workers, or to allow people, you know, to come to the museum free of charge for specific programs. We've launched a whole new program around art and well-being, which is about, you know, using the museum and art as a escapism. So really going back to the core of the brand and starting with our internal audiences to say to them, you know, how do we make this an opportunity? How do we use this time to really connect with our audiences? Especially given that they were a key audience for us always, but we, you know, we were also focused on driving tourism to the museum. So this idea of being a mindful museum was launched when we reopened the museum. And it's about the way we operate as staff, the way we take care of each other, the experience we offer visitors. It's also framed around safety. So, you know, going back to what Alvin was saying about having a safe environment, we ask our visitors to be mindful of each other, to be mindful of the safety precautions that are in place to protect them. And as I said, it all goes back to the core of our brand, offering these programs both online and for our visitors who come to the museum to see us.
So again, there's been the digitization of it for you has been a, you know, huge change as well, and making it happen. It's very exciting and a fascinating challenge for you with everything you're doing there. David, I'm interested in your perspective on the idea of brand values right now as you go through the planning phase. How are you feeling as you listen to all this, and what have you been doing?
I think, you know, brand values are one of those things that take a very long time to develop, right? And so many companies have had to either rediscover a value that they had but had overlooked, you know, during time of COVID in terms of, you know, pledging allegiance to their communities and being good citizens. Or they've had to, you know, reinvent themselves and reposition their brands for the moment. And I would invite folks gathered here today to imagine that it's 6 months from now, right? It's March 30th or April 1st, and you're on a Zoom call.
It's April Day next year, yeah.
Right, it's starting to be spring again. And you're on a Zoom call, or maybe a couple of us are even in a conference room talking to each other. And and we're having conversation about like, well, the world has changed now. It's different. It's either better or it's worse in some way. And someone in the room is going to say, well, we need to adapt to this new time. We just spent the last year and a half going through the COVID time period. We need to adapt to this new time. And everyone's going to nod their head and say, yes, you're right, we do. And then in their minds, they will say, but that'll take 6 months to do. So the question for you now is, if tomorrow is October 1st, what are the things that you could do now to be ready for April 1st, right? What are the things that you could start now? Start that 6-month journey now so that you are ready to seize market share, to be there for your employees, to adapt to what is next, because it's going to take a while to get there. You might as well allocate, as you're thinking about your 2021 planning, have a specific track for the day after COVID, and we all know it's going to take a while to adapt, and also the day before, the day after COVID, right? That patchy time when your customers, some of them are going to get vaccinated, some of them are going to be ready to go out in the world, others won't. It's going to be a very patchy recovery. So being ready for both of those, it's going to, you know, we think about what values your brand is going to want to express when the great next round of pivots happen. Mm-hmm. It's going to take 6 months. Start now.
Yeah, so be one step ahead and get the phasing right. Okay, so I have a question for all of you speakers now, and I would like to ask you to use the chat function to respond to this one, because I'd also like to invite anybody else who's listening to answer this question. I'm interested to know, we're talking a lot about what's going to happen next, and new phrases, and there has been language used all year about what's coming next. How, tell me on chat, on the function here, be keyboard warriors, tell me how you're feeling about the phrase, the new normal. Please pop it on chat, tell us how you're feeling. And anybody listening at home, do we like it, do we not like it? How does it make us feel? Do we think it's helpful when we're talking about the language of planning for next year? Bored of it. It's become a cliche, has it, Keith? Yes, Poppy, overused.
Yes. Yeah, no, sorry, I'm just answering your question, Sophie. Yeah, it's you know, doesn't mean anything, does it? It's just, let's move past it.
So, I mean, I'm not expecting anyone to answer this now. It's just a thought for the future, which is, you know, as marketers, is there an opportunity to rebrand 2021? Is there something we talk about at the future? Actually, because language can be so powerful. I think, yeah, the new normal is the now normal. And what is normal anyhow? It is complicated for people. So clearly, I think, yeah, looking at our audience generally, new normal will actually be hundreds of normals, David. Yes, absolutely right. We have to not make a blanket assumption about all our consumers, all our audiences, but look at all that. Okay, so what I'd like to move on to now is just thinking a little bit about the economy and financial stability. Because as marketers and as people who are trying to make sure that our businesses survive and thrive, we do have to look at the money side of things. We've all touched on it a little bit in some of the conversations so far. Celine, do you have any thoughts on how, when we plan, we ensure we keep our businesses financially stable? As most of the countries represented here will be moving into some form of recession or already be in it or be experiencing difficulties. Your thoughts, Celine?
So for us, what is strange also in my change of position is I used to do this super long-term planning, where now I have to say sometimes it could be even a daily planning. have to be totally honest, because, for example, we have a lot of business in US. When there were this protest and Black Lives Matters, we closed most of our shop. We have some shop been destroyed. So then we have to totally change our way of communicating in one day. And the same in Hong Kong currently also with a protest. So I'm not even talking about the virus. It's really everything going on make us budget everything day per day. So sometime we have to have a campaign, and this was the case in US, that we have totally to stop right away and then postpone it to we didn't know when. And then, so it's strange because there is no more planning. But in another way, and I'm the very optimistic one, the planning never been so well done. Because by doing it in this way on a super short term and really looking at on a country per country and really looking very well at the consumer behavior on our website, on all our e-commerce platform, then in fact, we are making a stronger planning than we used to do in a way. But it really need to be very short term, because most of the thing we faced since January, nobody could say that would happen. So nobody could plan it. Yeah. So right now we just realize that the planning by itself has no meaning, because everything changed day per day and in every country in a different way.
It is very hard when there is no pattern recognition there. And I think people who've been involved in quite disruptive industries or startups or whatever are more used to that. Those people who are involved in businesses which have been relatively going through cycles, it is hard to adapt to that. Keith, I'm conscious, Keith, when we've talked before, you know, there is a tendency, of course, as everybody listening knows, for marketing budgets to be the ones that are slashed at the first sign of recession. Do you think that marketing and advertising still has a vital role to play in these times?
100%. I mean, it's a perennial question, isn't it? It's the debate that everybody, every CMO gets involved with at the executive level, with the FD, with the executive committee. And my position on it has always been that it's a time almost in crisis to invest more, not less. I've had to weather a couple of crises, not admittedly one quite as global and as you know, deadly as this one, but the financial crisis in the UK in 2008 caused runs on banks, caused some banks to fail. It disrupted the fabric of society in the UK in a very different way. And I was at Santander at the time, the bank, and we took a decision to keep investing at the same level. In fact, we increased investment, and that paid dividends, and we saw exponential growth for the 5 to 10 years after that period, driven largely, I think, from a marketing point of view, of being there and being available and being noticed by customers. As I go back to the simple concepts of mental and physical availability, our job is to drive that as much as we can at all times, and now more than any other time we should be doing that. We just have to adapt to how we do that. Well, obviously, going back to my previous point about relevance, but absolutely, I would strongly advocate marketers fighting hard to maintain and potentially increase budget at this time.
Yeah, I mean, easier said than done. Interesting use of language there. And I want to pick up on our last global conversation, where there was a great insight from the representative from Scotland, who talked about just the power of language when you talk about investment and you remind people it's about investment, not about spend. But yes, easier said than done. And many people are facing budget cuts completely beyond their control. And of course, it's sometimes how you then respond to that. Emma, how have you and your team dealt with, you know, managing budgets at the moment? Are there some insights there around what's happened?
I think Alvin introduced with two words, hard trade-off, and I can relate to that. And we definitely, I've put my hand up and said, you know, which I've never done in my career, let's give something back. And can we invest this into programming or something that's more meaningful for the communities that we're trying to speak to? Looking more at research to really understand those audiences. But we have fought for some creativity, and, you know, the pressure, they're saying no pressure, no diamonds. I think this opportunity, and Celine sort of alluded to it at the start, it's a real opportunity for us to be free. And with so much uncertainty, you know, our bosses are uncertain, the data's uncertain, we're looking at these trends, but we've gone in with some, you know, experimental ideas to really try new things that we would never have been able to before. So I think that that's been the, and they have paid dividends. Some of them have been, you know, hugely contagious here. Things that we've worked on have gone viral, and we've seen engagement that we've never seen before. We've built online communities that didn't exist. And I think we've identified with the community here in a hyper-localized way that we never would have. So I think going back to the, how we've managed that, yes, we've had some hard trade-offs, but we've tried to turn it into an opportunity.
Brilliant. Yes. And creativity, of course, as we all know, thrives on those constraints, and there are always opportunities. I mean, for us, you know, we're all missing the opportunity to bring everybody together in live environments as part of the Marketing Society, which has been so much part of our history. But we're seeing fantastic new members joining from completely different places and enjoying the ease and the access of being able to see all these people here from around the world. So there are always opportunities, but it's about the mindset and sometimes it's also about the decisions you make. Alvin, traditionally, I think for all of us, when the pressure is on, we revert to being safe because there's fear. How have you been encouraging your team to be braver, to take those risks or step outside their comfort zone when you know that there is such a challenging time out there? And don't forget to come off mute to share.
Sorry, thanks. I was talking to myself there. I think someone said, you know, it's their one word was free. And I take it in the other sense, in the sense of, please free ourselves from what used to be the norm of, you know, we have to run X number of campaigns in a certain way. We have to use this kind of agency and all that. I said, no, you know, we have to make all our marketing investment, our money work much harder for us. And so I try to instill in them the bootstrap kind of mindset, like almost like think like a startup, right? Because we do have a fixed pot of money, it's not going to grow, but we have to do more with it, but we have to do different things with it than we did before. So this idea of bootstrapping, and you know, in India you call it jugaad, right? Jugaad innovation. Like don't get all fancy, because you know, like, and number one, number two, I think someone, yeah, Govinda Sami, prof, is one of my heroes. I think the other thing about it's about making sure that I think we're much more conscious of having a more direct line to the revenues, to the business generation. In the past, I guess we would do a lot more what I call important but fluffy things, like brand equity building and a lot more of that. Those are important, but those are a bit more long term, right? Now it's not so much survival, but it's about, you know, really being very pragmatic and you know, delivering what needs to be delivered now, and moving the needle, seeing the needle move almost immediately. And someone was talking about, you know, being agile. I think we have to be opportunistic. So our teams have to be very on top of the ground, on top of things, and ride any waves that are coming. There are lots of mini waves coming that come along, because so many things change all the time. So these are all the things that it's very tiring. Actually, my teams are exhausted, but they're also strangely very energized as well. You know, it's sort of like strange combination of the two, but we try to keep them going, because I think this is important, and this is a special moment in history to be alive and doing marketing. Mm. Never before, right?
I mean, yeah, there's been positives. And I think the parallels with the startup world there, you know, anybody who's been involved in startups knows it's absolutely exhausting, but energizing as well, to feel like what you are doing makes a difference. And as you're speaking, I'm thinking about, you know, a very underrated word, I think, which is resourcefulness, you know, taking what we've got and doing something with it. And Vicky, I mean, you've got consumers who are actually becoming more financially risk averse as well during this time, and spending less on travel. So how are you dealing with the challenge of that to support business and tourism?
So I guess there's been three things to our approach. I guess to drive that kind of business, that much needed business that's needed now, it's all been about targeting. So it's about finding the media and channel partners that we can work with to get to the audiences that are actively seeking travel, you know, a holiday or a break. And you know, we've had great success, for example, in a partnership with Expedia and TripAdvisor, because these tend to be the platforms that consumers will go if they are looking to plan or or book a holiday. So strategic partnerships has been really important, getting to the right audiences. But I think I agree with what Keith, you know, said. For us, it's not just then about now, it's about thinking longer term. And actually, that's the importance of that being ever present in all of our markets, through our own channels, through partnerships, again, to keep Scotland front of mind, knowing that actually, although the situation right now isn't good, people can't travel, there are travel restrictions in place, actually, if we are going to see the industry recover, we've got to compete with many, many other destinations. So we've got to keep Scotland top of mind. Yeah. So actually, that has been an important part of our approach, and keeping a consistency with a level of messaging about Scotland in all our key markets and through the right channels. And then thirdly, there is a need for that reassurance. So it's not just about inspiring about what Scotland's got to offer and how it can fit the bill right now for that kind of fresh air, time to connect with loved ones, but that it's also a safe experience. And we've worked with the industry and our partners across all of the UK national tourism organisations to create a COVID secure scheme. So businesses in the hospitality and tourism industry can sign up to that scheme, and it's a quality mark that I guess just reassures that our visitors that they can expect a safe experience, and all of the hygiene measures and safety measures have been in play. And we've created lots of nice content around that, a visitor pledge. We've created a video on the guide to safe travelling in Scotland. Brilliant. So yeah, those are the kind of three areas, that safety reassurance, yeah, targeting, but just don't forget about the long term as well, because it's going to take a while for international markets, particularly for Scotland, it's
a two-paced race for everybody right now.
Absolutely.
The short term and the long term. And, you know, Scotland is always top of my mind because we've got such an amazing community of members up there. So it's okay that, I think you've mentioned a couple of times as well that the idea of partnerships, and I think for a lot of people planning right now, there's a bit of, if we can't do this, who can we get to
help us? Who can help us?
Who can scale
Absolutely.
It? I think it's interesting. I'm conscious that, gosh, there's so much to talk about here. And what I want to make sure I ask everybody for around this room today is a really tangible tip and a takeaway for those people who are currently working through the planning process and trying to get it right. What is the one thing that you think everybody should take away from this conversation today that will really, really help when we're planning for 2021? David, I mean, you've thinking about the budgets, thinking about everything else that's going on, what would you say, one tip for everybody listening that you would make sure that they think about?
This is a time of enormous change for the consumers that we serve. Look at your competitors to see who is dropping the ball when it comes to data collection. Take this opportunity to get to know your customers better at a time of great change for them. Record these things through your data aggregation systems so that you can be there for them in a hyper-targeted way when they go through their next set of changes. Brilliant. Use data now to be ready for tomorrow.
Yeah, and we are, the marketers are the ones who are the voice of the customer and who can do that and make sure it's happening. So owning that and staying alert, of course, as you said at the start, David. And Kanika, what was the Indian expression that Alvin used there?
Well, he used a very interesting expression called Jugaad. Jugaad is the ability to figure out a shortcut, but a very logical way of getting the job done. It's like getting the job
done. Love a shortcut. Brilliant.
Even if there's a shortcut involved.
So is that your one takeaway? Make sure people are looking for the Jugaad? How'd you say
Jugaad.
It?
Jugaad.
Brilliant.
It's a shortcut at a much more affordable price.
Sorry, go ahead, Alvin.
No, it's not only a shortcut, but it's doing it at a relatively low cost so that you can get things going. Get things underway. It doesn't have to be a Rolls-Royce solution. We can't afford Rolls-Royce nowadays anyway, so that's the whole point.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a shortcut, and shortcuts are usually, you know, the cheaper way of doing things, and you can test quickly and fail cheaply and then try things again. So all of that is, it works out.
It's really important.
So, yes. I think go ahead, Sophie.
It's just staying creative. Sorry, I interrupted.
No, I was saying, in the Indian context, Jugaad always works. And like you said, Jugaad is just you know, being more creative about problem solving. But what I would say as, you know, like my final thoughts on from whatever I have heard today on 2021 planning, I would say that to all the marketers in the room, don't hesitate to launch and accelerate.
Launch and accelerate. Moving.
Yeah.
Move fast. This is a good way of doing it. And Keith, you have a thoughtful face on there as you're listening to it. What would be your one takeaway in a sentence for everybody listening? What should we be thinking about from your perspective?
I'm going to borrow the words of the mighty Jurgen Klopp, the Liverpool Football Club manager. When he's talking about the Premier League title this year, he said, we're going to attack the title, not defend it. So I would say where people think defensively, don't think defensively, think of attacking. So attack the crisis, don't defend from it.
Yeah, it's time to move forward from that. And Vicky, what would be your one thing that you want to make sure everybody's thinking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's let's not be paralysed by uncertainty, isn't it? It's find a way, a framework that can allow maximum input to that planning process. So get collaborative around the planning, but look for incremental gains. We can attack it incrementally to see short-term gains. And
yeah, I was talking to a leader last night, actually. We were talking about brilliant though 10x is, sometimes at the moment there are those marginal gains that we can contribute to, and they do add up. Emma, one piece of advice or a takeaway for everybody listening in terms of planning and how we thrive next year?
I would say while we're attacking at speed, we're cutting budgets, we're looking at our targets, that staying true to our brand, starting internal. It's a tough time for people, and moving external to understand our customers, or in my case, visitors or online audiences, with authenticity will have long-term gains. And we don't want to forget those at a time where we're moving so incredibly fast.
Yeah. And I think the reminder that actually what we can do internally as marketers as well, in terms of communication and the story, can help. And that, you know, purpose story can drive pace, I guess. Be good to capture that. Celine, one last thought. What would you say? What do we need to make sure we're doing to make 2021 brilliant?
I think one sentence. I know, cover most of the subject, but for me, yeah, it's really about to know better your customer and to engage a conversation in an authentic way. I think it's really the time also to be authentic. Many people say, like, of course, the customer now know about marketing and advertising, and I think it's the time to be really authentic, to be nimble, and of course, to be creative. And I think it's to be positive and don't lose the faith, even if we go through a storm. I think we need to be focused and have a clear objective in mind. Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you so much. See, everybody, I told you what an amazing panel it was. We could have talked to each of them for an hour each, and that went so fast. There is going to be, I think, a poll just about to arrive on your screen, so you can tell us honestly, everybody listening, what you thought of them. And hopefully each of them, I know, will be happy to connect if you want to. And we will be sharing some of these tips and ideas afterwards as well. And I wish we'd had time to answer more of the questions for you. I really enjoyed that. I think it's been a brilliant conversation. I feel slightly more optimistic, actually, about the planning side of it. There is always a way. And really appreciate your time, wisdom, advice, and just the perspectives. So interesting to hear. I've learned a few words today and a few ideas. For everybody else listening, there are some more great events coming up. Please don't miss tomorrow. We have a very different Under the Spotlight session with two incredibly entrepreneurial, fast-moving people, a dynamic duo from Octopus Energy, which is one of the fastest growth UK private companies. And we have the CEO and the marketing director joining us to talk about how do CEOs and CMOs work together, and how do you keep up the startup feel when your organization moves from nothing to a huge size very fast. So do join us for that over lunch tomorrow if you're in the UK at 1 o'clock. We've got a couple of other great things coming up. So in APAC and Dubai for our members, we've got an amazing new virtual social experience. So you can connect, it's community, collaborate. And it's a chance for everybody to actually just talk and listen, have the conversations with other members outside their hub and inside their hub. So please do get involved in that. And do not miss the opportunity to check out our Brave Get Together, which is a very different version of the famous Marketing Society annual conference. It's on the 4th of November, and it's going to be very different, very stimulating, and we'd really love you to be part of it. Last but not least, come join us at a party. We talked earlier about the need for people to actually celebrate, and on the 25th of November, we're going to have an evening of celebration, connections and conversations from 6 to 8 p.m. It's virtual, but it's going to be interesting because we will be celebrating marketing, introducing our new fellows for the Marketing Society. You'll be able to vote on the Brave Brand of the Year, and it's an opportunity for us to have some fun. Lots of dates to your diary. I've done that very quickly because we're running out. Please, everybody listening, do give us feedback. Come and connect with me if you've got any ideas, thoughts or inspiration. Thank you so much to an amazing panel. I really appreciate it today. And I'm going to let you all go. See you soon. Happy planning, everybody.
Thank you, Sophie.
Thanks, Sophie. You were a brilliant host, by the way.
Yes.
You as well.